I'm Frank Garza, and welcome to Here and Abroad, a podcast that follows the U.S. men's national team and their player pool across Europe, MLS, or wherever else they play their club football. The USMNT will be in action again on March 21st when they take on Jamaica in the Nations League semifinals. If they win that, they'll play in the final 3 days later. I'm expecting that Greg Berhalter will announce the roster for those matches somewhere around March 13th. Which is only a few weeks away. And on today's show, we're going to talk through what that roster might look like and some of the key decisions Berhalter will have to make as he puts it together. To help me do that, I've invited Kyle Bond to join the show. Kyle is a writer for the Sporting News and has over a decade of experience covering the sport of soccer globally. He also does TV broadcasts for Wake Forest Soccer. Kyle, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, It's an interesting time for the U.S. You know, the winter is always one where you're just kind of biding your time until March, right? Because the international breaks are few and far between. So nice to get back to it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, this roster come out in a few weeks. And normally when I go through a roster, I usually like to start at goalkeeper and just kind of work my way forward. But I'm going to change it up a little bit this time and start with the positions that I think Berhalter has a little bit more uncertainty around and maybe some more interesting choices to make. And I'm going to start with striker, actually. So 23-man roster, they usually bring two strikers. You know, for a long time, that's been Balogun and Pepe. I think probably for the last year, that's been the case. But a lot of people are talking about Josh Sargent right now. He's scoring some goals in the championship. And so that's my first question for you is, do you think Sargent could make this roster, or do you think Berhalter will stick with Balogun and Pepe?
Can I say both? I mean, I think both can be true. I think you have room for all three guys. I don't see an issue with that. I think you've got to bring Sargent with the way he's playing. You just have to bring him. But I don't see how you can drop either of the other two guys. I mean, Balogun's your number one starter. He hasn't been great with Monaco, but I haven't seen any reason to drop him from that spot. Pepe is in a tough spot and is making the most of it. So I don't see any reason to drop those two guys, but I think there's room for Sargent. And so I think both can be true.
Yeah, and he's played on the wing some for like Norwich City, so he has like the flexibility. But let me ask you, let's say Berhalter does only want to bring two. Do you think there's any chance he bumps Pepe or Balogun for Sargent?
No, I don't think there's any. I think in order for that to happen, you need two things. You need someone to step up and take the spot, which Sargent has for the most part, and you need one of those guys to fall off. And so I haven't seen enough negatives from the other two to drop them right now. I know people haven't seen enough from Balogun or feel like they haven't seen enough from Balogun on the national team level. And maybe he's having a bit of an underwhelming season at Monaco to make up for that. But I just feel like he's such a talented player that I don't see a reason to drop him for a championship player. I don't think, you know, as much as I love what Sargent is doing, and I think it's great for the depth and for the pool and to have him available, I just think if he can't prove it at a big five league, I don't think he's in a position to overtake one of those guys based solely on his own form.
I agree with you. And I think Balogun and Pepe, they're not untouchable by any means, but I think that they firmly established themselves as the top two, and it's going to take somebody like Sargent performing at a high level for quite a bit of time before, or one of those two dropping off for quite a bit of time before a change is made. It's not going to be a flash in the pan, just bringing the guy that's hot, you know, in this position.
Yeah, and I don't think you can see that happening unless Sargent gets back to the Premier League and does well. You know, he doesn't have to put up the same numbers he's putting up in the championship in the Premier League, but, you know, in the championship, it's just not a good enough level to make up for the gap that he's facing right now. You know, you've sort of got the same thing going on for Pepe at the club level, right? Like, Pepe's doing awesome, but so is Luke de Jong. So Pepe can score as many goals as he wants off the bench, but if de Jong's scoring as a starter, it doesn't matter because he's the starter. And if he's producing as the starter, Pepe's got to wait. So it happens at both the national team level and the club level. And again, that's not a knock on Sargent. It's not a knock on Pepe. They're playing well. But the situation has to present itself. And that's what sports, professional sports is all about. You've got to be ready when you get your chance. And until you get your chance, you might not get your chance. So there's a lot of luck involved and a lot of finding the right opportunity in this business.
Well, let's talk about one of Pepe's teammates over at PSV. I want to go to outside backs next. You know, again, there's some flexibility here. Sometimes I see him bring in five outside backs. Sometimes, usually it's four, though. But I guess the first question I'll ask is specifically around Sergiño Dest. You know, we know he had the situation in November where he got kicked out of the game. I believe he won't be able to play in the semifinal. If he does come in, he'd only be able to play in the final due to that suspension. So is there any chance Dest doesn't get called in to the Nations League? Well, what are you thinking there?
No, he's playing well. He timed that temper tantrum perfectly because it was right before this long break where everybody has a chance to forget about what happened, right? It's not like he's getting called back in next month. I don't think everybody's going to forget what happened, but he's playing really well at the club level. He's put his head down. He's getting back to it. He's done about everything he can at this point. It's funny. I just chuckled a little bit when you said kicked out of the game, because normally you said red carded, right? Got sent off, whatever. But that was really a better, I feel like
pun intended there.
Well, yeah, but being sent off doesn't really do it justice either. Like, he got kicked out, right? Like, you imagine like a guy throwing a temper tantrum in a rec league game and the ref being like, get out. You know, that's really what happened. But yeah, he's going to have to prove it at the national team level that he can be a team player. I don't think there's any getting around that. But he's done everything he can, but since then, to say, hey, I'm ready to prove that. It won't be hard to win the fan base back. Play well for a game or two in a competitive environment, win a trophy, he's good. You know, it'll go down as a moment in his national team career. When you look back at his career, people will say, hey, remember that time he threw a fit on the field and got sent off? But it won't take much to get past that. And he's playing well enough that I think he deserves a chance or two to do that.
And I think Berhalter, when I've seen him speak about it, even right after the game, but even, you know, up until a few weeks ago, I saw another interview with Berhalter and he was asked about it. And he seems to talk more about the response of the team and how that had to be better than kind of getting down, you know, on desk. So yeah, he doesn't seem to be in any place where he's going to punish him or leave him off the team. So fully agree with you there. You know, these outside backs with Sergiño Dest, Anthony Robinson, and Joe Scally, those three have been called in pretty consistently. It's this fourth outside back spot, you know, Anthony Robinson's backup, that seems to be more uncertain. But, you know, Christopher Lund has been called in pretty consistently. Do you think he's the for sure guy, or can you see somebody else bumping him for that last outside back spot?
I think right now it's probably him. I don't see anybody else that has stepped up. And honestly, that's a little bit of a blow to the guys in MLS. The players at that position in MLS, they haven't done much to take that next step. The guy that I've been most wanting to see push his game to the next level is John Tolkien. Because if Tolkien to me has by far the highest ceiling of any of those young MLS guys at that position. And we just haven't quite seen it. I don't know if, I think he can star at Red Bulls and become kind of that guy at number two behind Robinson. But he might need to move abroad to do that. I'm not somebody who says you have to move abroad. You can't play in MLS in order to make be a starter for the national team. I'm not somebody who subscribes to that line of thinking. But just given his situation, he's played there for a little while, hasn't really been able to take that next step, has a lot of time left. He's really young. But I think Lund right now is playing consistently, you know, in a second tier in a Big Five nation. He's performing. Palermo are fifth in the second tier in Italy. And he's been a consistent performer there. Now, I will say this to say I'm not enough plugged in that I know what's going on. I'm seeing now he hasn't played in their last three games. It doesn't say why. I wonder if he's injured or if there's something else going on, but maybe that's a room for somebody else if there is an injury there. But otherwise, I think it's got to be Lund.
Yeah, DeJuan Jones is the only other guy that's really been called in for that spot in the last, if you go back the last three, you know, first team camps that the U.S. has had. He got called in that camp in October when Anthony Robinson was out. Do you give him much of a shot to challenge Lund for that position?
I mean, yeah, this is a position where everybody has a chance. There's nothing set in stone. There's nothing that's really a solidified pecking order. But right now, I think that's just kind of where the players sit. I also don't think it helps that MLS players are in the beginning of their season and probably not quite as match fit or in form as some of the guys in Europe. I think just by the timing of this international break, that might be tough for anybody who is coming domestically.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be Lund. You know, it seems to be pretty consistent, you know, bringing him in. I will say DeJuan Jones has impressed me when I have seen him play, more so than I thought that he would. But yeah, I still think it'll be Lund there. Let's go to center backs next. And again, it does seem like this is a position where maybe it's not for sure who's going to be starting, but the same four center backs, Tim Ream, Chris Richards, Miles Robinson, Cameron Carter-Vickers have been consistently getting called in. The one other guy who had been called in fairly recently is Mark McKenzie. So do you think it'll be those first four that I mentioned, or is McKenzie or somebody else have a chance to bump one of those guys?
It's a good question. I think a lot of it will depend on Carter-Vickers' fitness. He's had real problems with fitness this year, and I think he just missed a bunch of time recently with an injury. He's back, but only just. So I think that will matter. If he's there, I'd really like to see Carter-Vickers start. I think he's earned that chance. The Champions League time was tough. You know, Celtic just have not looked good in the Champions League in a couple of years now. But, and I'm also a little disappointed he didn't move to England in the offseason. I think he had a big chance to. I think there were some clubs interested. He signed a new contract instead. I spoke to him last year during an international break, and he made it seem like he was it was sort of an unspoken thing. Like, yeah, I'd like to go give it another shot after things didn't work out with Tottenham. But then he signed a new contract. So I would have liked to see him move away from that league that's so unbelievably top heavy. He's just not getting big games on a consistent basis. But I also think he's earned the chance to start. I think every time he's been in there, it's been good. Beyond that, it's so funny. I keep waiting for the moment where Tim Ream is no longer a viable option and we just never get there, you know? Like I spoke with Thierry Henry ahead of the Champions League knockout stage with his, you know, doing his CBS stuff. And totally unprompted. You can find it on my Twitter or on my social. He just goes into a 2-minute rant about Tim Ream. We were talking about Sergiño Dest. I asked him about Dest, and he just pivots out of nowhere to like, why doesn't Tim Ream get the love that he deserves? He's been awesome for Fulham. This is, you know, he's such a great player. So I think Tim is probably going to start. I think part of it is because of Carter-Vickers just not really being fully fit. We'll see when that comes around. Miles Robinson has a big couple of months ahead, and I don't think he's really taken back the starting spot after his injury. So after a move to a new club, we'll see how that goes. It's just a bit muddy right now. And I think this, I really hope that whoever starts, I have no idea who it's going to be. Whoever starts, I hope Berhalter sticks with the pairing for both games, because I think it's so important to really, I think you're seeing this with the U.S. women. They just lost to Mexico. Twyla Kilgore played three different center back pairings in the three group games and the two center backs against Mexico were totally out of sync and just got pressed into oblivion. I think there's real value in consistency at the center back position, and this U.S. men's side needs to build that. Whoever it's going to be, go for it.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Berhalter did do that in the last window. I think he started Ream and Cameron Carter-Vickers together both matches. So maybe he is, you know, buying into that philosophy.
And you know, I didn't mention Richards either. You're absolutely right. I think Richards is such a weird situation right now, playing consistently at Crystal Palace, not at his strongest position. They've been horrific defensively. He's actually been okay, given the circumstances, but has made mistakes. He has such a high ceiling. He's playing consistently at a Premier League team. On those two things alone, you'd be like, well, Richards is a lock. But he's in such a weird position that it's similar to Pepe, where the two guys in front of him are so good. Anderson, Joachim Anderson especially, is, you know, he was at Fulham. I've watched Fulham consistently over the years, and he's, I was sad when he left. He's been great. Mark Gahey has been fantastic. Richards has been good. It's just a weird situation. I'm fascinated to see if Berhalter says, hey, you know, we've got other guys who are better suited right now, or if he says, you're our guy for the future, we're going to roll with it now. I have no idea, really, at this position. It's such a toss-up. Nobody's in a perfect spot.
Yeah, it does seem like the pool, you know, that the four guys, maybe five guys, you know, if you count McKenzie, is kind of established, but it is still really wide open who's going to be starting, you know, at that position. I don't think anything would necessarily surprise me when I see those starting lineups, you know, come out. You know, you could make a case for all of them.
It's funny, there's a comedian who did a sketch about intrusive thoughts where he talks about, of course, but maybe. I feel like that's the tagline for every U.S. center back right now. Well, of course, but maybe, you know, like there's always another option because nobody's in a perfect position right now.
Right. Well, let's talk about another position where maybe we're lacking some guys in good positions is goalkeeper. Well, I shouldn't say good positions, but maybe like steady, consistent positions is goalkeeper. I think it's pretty safe to say Matt Turner and Ethan Horvath will be called in. Horvath is getting into regular playing time now. But this third spot, this one seems to be completely up for grabs. I thought maybe Stefan would be the leader to get that, but then, you know, they gave up four goals in their opener. Colorado Rapids did. What's your thought on who gets this third goalkeeper spot in the roster? Who's the favorite to?
Well, at the center back position, you think, all right, you know, there's options, right? Nobody's in a perfect position, but everybody has a reason they should be starting, right? Everybody's got an argument to make, which is good. You want that. At the goalkeeper position, there's a lot of uncertainty because nobody has an argument. Everybody's like, and that's troublesome. Turner's had a brutal year. I mean, he's been good at times, but he's also made some horrific mistakes. And the horrific mistakes have started to pile up to where they're like, all right, this isn't, it feels less of a bug and more of a feature, which is not good. He's not done that at the national team level. And I think that's why he's still the locked in starter, because for all his club adversity, he's not allowed that to leak into his national team performances. He's been solid as it can be at the national team level. I think people are just worried about the future. So for now, he's the guy, and he should be. You're right. Horvath is there at two. I think Stefan has a lot of work to do to get back in the mix. He's got to earn it. The problem for me here is the three spot I would think is Slonina's. He's the guy for the future. You always want somebody, you know, young at that third goalkeeper spot. And I think there's still value in having him around because they're not going to play. So why not keep him around? It's not been good at the club level, man. It's not been good. You know, he's in the Belgian league at Eupen, I think it is. They're in a relegation battle. They're conceding goals at will. They can't score either. I mean, they haven't scored a single goal in their last five games. They're a mess. And I would have hoped that after a move to Chelsea, he could really, you know, as a young player, you want him to crush that first loan spell. Because now you're like, all right, what's next? So it's not gone well. And I hope they keep him around just for future. Because there's not much to gain from a third goalkeeper from, you know, bringing in somebody like Stefan.
Or Drake Callender.
Yeah, Callender could be the guy. Callender's another weird one because he's an elite shot stopper. He's not good with his feet. And he's had some shaky moments himself. Like, he really has ridden the Messi wave. And I hate to say that because, first of all, Drake's a great guy. And he works really hard. And he just puts his head down. It's been really unfortunate. I wish he had gotten a cap last camp in January. It was really unfortunate that he didn't. Because he's now been to three camps without earning a cap. And I talked to him the second camp, and he was like, yeah, man, you know, I just really want to get out there. I'd like to be able to help the team. He's really got a good head on his shoulders. He has a bit of Matt Turner to him where he's prone to some weird ones, but I think there's value in him too. He's certainly earned it more than a guy like Slonina has, or a guy like Stefan has. I just wonder, for that third spot, do you just have a guy who's there for the future? I think that's just a little more value in the future in having Slonina there. But Callender's earned it, and I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see him called in. He was great in both of Inter Miami's first two games.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't be surprised if you're right there. I mean, I think those are the two. It's going to come down between Callender and Slonina, and it just kind of depends on, yeah, which perspective they take. Do we just bring a guy in because we know he's the future, or do we bring in maybe somebody who we think is really deserving? I think that's a good point you make about Zach Steffen. Really, I mean, he's only played, that was his first match playing in like, what, a year? So yeah, let him get comfortable, make him earn it. Yeah, he's not ruled out, but indefinitely, but yeah, he's going to have to kind of earn his spot back. Let's go to the midfield, which I think the midfield, I'm a little bit more comfortable in predicting who the six are that they're going to take there. That's usually around how many they take. And I'm not counting. I'm going to put Gio in this category. I'm not going to put Brendan Aaronson. I know they get swapped out, but I've been seeing them play Brendan more as a forward. But in the midfield, I think, you know, Weston McKennie, Yunus Musah, Gio Reyna, Luca De La Torre, I mean, they consistently have been coming in for a while. But now Malik Tillman and Johnny Cardoso are the two other guys that seem to be getting called in. They haven't always been able to come in because of an injury or whatnot, but they're playing at a high level. I mean, is there anybody like, you know, there's Leonard Maloney, Paxton Aaronson that have been called in to camps as well in the last like year or so? I mean, can one of those two bust in, or do you think it's that first six pretty solid that I mentioned?
So a lot of this is going to ride on Weston McKennie's health. He just dislocated his shoulder, and that looks like something that's going to be a consistent problem for him moving forward. He's going to eventually need surgery. Surgery is the only way to correct that if it keeps popping out. Don't know how long he's going to be out. It sounds like he's going to miss a couple games for Juve. That's going to put him right up against it. We'll see. If McKennie's in, it's tough because Johnny Cardoso has really pushed for a spot, and you really need somebody at that six, or at least a backup at that six. And I don't think Luca De La Torre is a viable six. De La Torre is a box-to-box eight who's better defensively than offensively, but he's not a six. I know they use him there, and it's been okay against lesser opposition, but that's not viable moving forward. Adams is getting healthy. Thank God. Let's give a nod to Tyler Adams, who's been through it, man. Hate to see it. He's back in training soon and should be available for matches to make his debut, you know, in the next week or two, which is awesome. Well, I say debut, not really, but basically. Johnny is so good, and he's just done everything he can to snatch. He scored an unreal goal last weekend. I think he's got to be in there. Luca's not done anything to lose his spot. But I could see Cardoso being taken over De La Torre simply because Cardoso has a more defined role than De La Torre. De La Torre is more of a, if you need him, plug and play. And I think there's more value, if everyone's healthy, in having a defined six available than having De La Torre's plug and play. A lot of people say that versatility has value. I'm not always subscribing to that notion. I think versatility hurts guys a lot. And at a team that, it's tough. If McKinney's hurt, then you take both. I think Tillman's in a tough spot because he's just got too much depth above him right now. And he hasn't blown the doors off. He's been good at PSV, but he hasn't blown the doors off. I think there's maybe a thought about taking Johnny over De La Torre simply based on the needs of the team more than either's performance.
I think they both could go. I mean, I'm just adding it up here. McKenny, Musa, Reyna, De La Torre, Tillman, Cardoso, that gives you your six.
I'm also going to throw this out there. Yunus Musa, I think, needs to show more at Milan right now.
He looks sloppy to me when he's played.
I'm not going to say that he's droppable from a roster perspective. Absolutely not. U.S. fans love him, rightly so. He's a really good player. He's still young. He's got a lot of room to grow. But he had a chance to secure a starting spot. He was playing for like 2 months straight, and he got dropped again. And he got replaced by a couple of guys who themselves weren't established starters and just sort of took it over. Now, there's probably room for him to take it back. Milan hasn't been awesome. And they've got a lot of uncertainty in midfield. But you're right. He's been sloppy. And I think that could be another spot that has maybe a little bit more of a question mark than we thought it would.
All right. So that brings us to our final position then, wingers. And four is the number here. You know, they normally bring in. I think, you know, we can say Pulisic and Weah is going to be there for sure. Brendan Aaronson, Kevin Paredes are the other two guys they've been bringing in. But then there's Cade Cowell and Alex Zendejas that have also played. Do you think it'll be Brendan Aaronson and Paredes? Or do you think Cowell and Zendejas or somebody else could bump one of those two?
Yeah, this is like goalkeeper where I'm not sold on a lot of guys, and not in a good way, not in the center back way. I think there's a lot of promise at center back, and you know, just because nobody's convincing doesn't mean there's not a lot of good options. They're struggling. Brendan Aaronson is having a real tough time, and I've said this before, and I will never fault a guy for leaving a club to look for minutes, but that was such a dumb transfer, man. I wish it never happened. I wish he was playing with Leeds in the championship because A, they're playing well, and hindsight is 20/20, but I've said this since he moved. I really did. I think there was way more value in staying at a club and gaining consistency. He fit that team so much better. He just doesn't fit at Union. He doesn't fit. And I think it's really hurt him. And I don't think he's a lock anymore. I think the guy you got to bring is Cade Cowell. At a new club, they may see value in leaving him. But it's a solidified international break. It's not like he's going to miss games. I could also see taking an extra striker in a guy like either Jesus Ferreira or Brandon Vasquez who can play on the wing. Ferreira is maybe more adept on the wing, but Vasquez can play out wide. You have to tweak things if you do that. But he has had a great start with Monterrey. And I think at a position that's got a lot of question marks, maybe there's room for messing with it a little bit. And I don't know about Zendejas. I don't think he's shown much ceiling. But I think either Cowell's the guy, or you tweak things a little bit and you stick a striker out wide like Ferreira or Vasquez, who have shown the ability to do that.
Yeah. Or Sargent, like you mentioned, you know, bring yes. in Pepe, Balogun, Sargent, and you say, okay, Sargent can fit that winger spot where we'll just take Pulisic, Weah, and Paredes, you know, because of that.
And I think what fans need to remember, I think this gets lost a lot in the U.S. national team discussion, is these questions don't have a right answer, and they also don't really matter. I hate to say that, but like, you have your starting lineup. You're calling players in for two games. A lot of these guys aren't going to play. And if they do play, it's going to be for 10 minutes at the end of a game. Do you want options if you need someone off the bench? Obviously. You know, if you're trailing 1-0 to Jamaica with 15 minutes to go and you need a spark, now your substitutes matter. But from a wider perspective, you're picking guys based on need a lot more than you are based on future ceiling. Is there value in getting a guy into camp? Yes. A young guy who maybe has some future? Yes. More so at the goalkeeper position than anywhere else. Because really, at the goalkeeper position, one guy's going to play. You're not going to use the guys off the bench unless there's an injury. But a lot of these other players that really aren't going to see the field in two games? Now, for a tournament, different story. For the Copa, for World Cup, obviously every spot matters. Injuries can happen, form. You're calling guys in for 4 or 5 games, hopefully 6 games, maybe. For an international break where you're playing a semi and a final or a third place game, you're pretty much going to go with the same guys to start. Some of these really, I don't want people to get bent out of shape if they see a Jordan Morris, because nobody else really has done anything at the winger position. And Berhalter says, I trust Jordan Morris for 10 minutes at the end of a game to run his face off than I do putting Brandon Vasquez out wide, or Josh Sargent out of position when he's been so good at striker. You know, like that. I just don't want people to get bent out of shape, understanding this is two games where some of these guys won't play.
Yeah, there may be some experimentation, you know, that Berhalter, you know, wants to do. And I will say this, almost every roster he's put out there, there's at least one player that has come out of nowhere and like surprised me. It was like when Christopher Lund got announced, when Leonard Maloney got announced, I was like, who are these guys? You know, so he does usually have it up his sleeve to throw one like curveball out there, and it'll be really interesting to see, you know, who that might be, you know, in this upcoming window. Well, Kyle, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'll make sure and put links in the show notes to your X account, which is @TheBonfire, and also to your work at The Sporting News. But before I let you go, anything else you'd like to share about this upcoming window, or really anything else at all?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. I always love chatting about this stuff. If nothing else, having these conversations gets me a little more ready for the international break. I appreciate it. you sort of help doing my work for me, and I like that. But no, the only thing is, keep an eye out. I had a really good chat with Emmanuel Sabi, who's playing at Le Havre, and having an okay season. The club is struggling, but has taken a step up, and hoping to, you know, stay up in Ligue 1. So that'll be out in the next week or two. And you know, we talked about the striker position a little bit. He's down there in the depth chart, but I think if guys don't step up and there's an opening, he could be somebody that could get a look. So he'll have to snatch that chance, but we'll see how it goes. So look forward to that in the next week or two.
Well, I will look out for that, Kyle. I always enjoy your articles.
Appreciate that.
Thanks again for coming on the show. And thanks to everyone for listening to Here and Abroad. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with a fellow USMNT fan. I'm Frank Garza. You can follow me on X @FrankGarza007. And I'll be back next week with a new episode.